Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. I am excited to be back with you to have a conversation that matters. Folks, we are now in day 19 of the government shutdown. And if you're like me, you probably watched Donald Trump give his 8-minute spiel last night where he was talking to folks about supporting the push to hold the government hostage so he can get $5.7 billion to build this wall. Now, according to Donald Trump last night, the wall's not going to be a concrete wall. He's talking about a steel barrier at this point. While he was talking, there are people who are still out of work. Payday is here. And there are people who are not going to get paid. There are roughly 800,000 people who are on furlough at this moment, who are waiting to see what's going to happen. While Trump and those in Washington are playing this political game, people are trying to figure out how they're going to feed their family, how they're going to pay their bills, how they're going to keep the water on, how are they going to keep the lights on. It is absolutely ridiculous, and it is political grandstanding, and we're concerned about that. And so today we need to talk about the fact that we have hit day 19. Now, at this point, we are tied for the second longest shutdown in our history. If we hit Friday, we will tie for the first longest shutdown. If we go through the weekend, it will be the longest shutdown in our history. Think about that, folks. We're talking about modern history here. The government has shut down about 20 times since 1976. That's the year that Congress introduced the Congressional Budget and Impoundment Control Act. Half the shutdowns occurred over a weekend. Now, there really have only been 3 significant government shutdowns in the history of the United States. Even though 20 overall, 3 of them have been significant. 2 of them occurred during the Clinton administration in the winter of 1995 to 1996. Former President Bill Clinton and the Republican Congress were at odds and shut the government down for a total of 26 days back in 95 to 96. The third shutdown, the most significant one, occurred during the Obama administration, when President Obama in 2013, when there was a stalemate between the House and the Senate that led to a 16-day hiatus. We are on day 19, folks. It is absolutely astonishing where we are at this point and what could potentially happen, because thus far, neither side is moving. This wall that President Trump is talking about is really a monument to him. I mean, you can call it a wall, you can call it a steel barrier. What it is, it's a monument to Trump. And for children at play, they will not move until what they want gets put on the table before him. He is not willing to budge. Now, when you watched last night, was there anything the president said that convinced you that maybe we should give him the approval for $5 billion to start building this wall? If you're on the other side, if you're a federal worker, you're going into day 19 of being furloughed, how are you doing? How's it impacting you? What choices are you making? If you're someone who is getting ready to travel, do you feel comfortable traveling? There was a tweet that came out on Twitter. A woman said she just went through TSA. And when she asked the TSA worker, should she take her computer out of her suitcase? The TSA worker said, I don't care. I'm not getting paid. Now, she then followed up and said she was just joking, that the TSA worker was just joking. But then a number of people put out on Twitter that they had had the same experience. They're coming up against TSA workers who are letting everybody through. One man said he came through Heathrow and there were at least 3 lines that were being run by one person, moving from line to line to line, trying to get people through TSA. Folks, do you feel comfortable flying at this moment, when the whole purpose of the wall, according to Donald Trump, is about keeping threats down? Well, if people can just bring whatever they want onto the plane, if there's no security happening there, then it's almost the opposite of what he's asking for. So we're going to have that conversation today in this first hour, talking about the government shutdown, because it is a concern. And we have a number of clips we're going to share with you today. We definitely have clips from Donald Trump. We have clips from people who are responding to it. We have clips from federal workers who are talking about it. But we want to kind of unpack what's happening in Washington and how it is impacting the entire country. But I want to begin by playing Blackopoly. We haven't played in a while. I'm sure you miss the game. And we're playing Blackopoly today in a very different way. We have audio clips from two black women, and we're going to play them. And the person who can call me, the first person who calls me and tells me the name of the person who is speaking, will win our first prize. Now, our first prize today for Blackopoly is a copy of Jesse Carney Smith's book, Black Heroes. Jesse Carney Smith did this amazing book, and I believe it's over 700 pages, and it outlines all of the black heroes. She wrote it, and her co-author was Nikki Giovanni. We know the poet, but everybody's included in this book, from James Brown to Zora Neale Hurston, Mary Church Terrell, Betty Shabazz. Everybody is in this book, Black Heroes by Jesse Carney Smith. The first person that can call and tell me the name and a little bit about the person that we hear speaking will win our first prize for Blackopoly. Let's go to the clip.
Today I am an inquisitor. And hyperbole would not be fictional and would not overstate the solemnness that I feel right now. My faith in the Constitution is whole, it is complete, it is total. And I am not going to sit here and be an idle spectator to the diminution, the subversion, the destruction of the Constitution. Who can so properly be the inquisitors for the nation as the representatives of the nation themselves? The subjects of its jurisdiction are those offenses which proceed from the misconduct of public men. And that's what we're talking about. In other words, from the abuse or violation of some public trust. It is wrong, I suggest, it is a misreading of the Constitution for any member here to assert that for a member to vote for an article of impeachment means that that member must be convinced that the president should be removed from office. The Constitution doesn't say that.
That's our first clip for Blackopoly. If you can call and tell me the name of the person and a little bit about the person who was speaking, you will win our prize. And our prize is Black Heroes by Jesse Carney Smith. Now, we also have people who tend to play along on Facebook Live. And for those of you who are playing along on Facebook Live, the first person who gets it on Facebook Live, because I always want to make sure I'm you know, being honest, you put up on Facebook Live, the public doesn't hear you. I got something for you, too. I have a copy of Juan Williams' book for you. Folks, it's Blackopoly. We're talking about the government shutdown. What is interesting is that Donald Trump was very upset last night, not because of how many lies we found out that he told, because, you know, of course, while he was talking, people were fact checking while he was talking. And then we had people fact checking the fact checkers, right? Because that's where we are now. He was upset because when Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer came up, and truly they look like mom and dad scolding their son for doing bad things, but they got higher ratings than he did. So he was quite upset. Let's talk about the government shutdown, day 19. And it's interesting because during his speech last night, Donald Trump told a litany of lies. So he falsely asserted that there's a security crisis at the border, which is not true by any available metric. He exaggerated the numbers of illegal immigrants encountered at the border and arrest of those with criminal records. He dishonestly conflated migrant families with child smugglers, and he falsely claimed a wall would stop illegal drugs. So he was lying all the way through this thing. But yet, he was able to get 8 minutes of prime time to talk. Now, media has been known to say no to a president's request. They said no to President Barack Obama. It's not unheard of. He repeatedly harasses the media on a regular basis, and yet they give him whatever it is that he wants. They give him the coverage that he so desperately needs. Well, here we are. Are you affected by the shutdown? What do you think is going to be the next step? Do you see an end in sight? 410-319-8888. Let's get some answers to Blackopoly, and then we'll play a clip from Donald Trump. We have Darren on the phone from Edgewood, Maryland. Darren, how are you, sir?
How you doing? And thank you for letting me break bread at your table, Dr. K.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say it again. I think they're building that wall to keep us in. I believe they don't want some of those people who are coming back home to their country to get here. But I also believe that Donald Trump and his homeboy, Steve Bannon, you know, I believe that as far as the government opening up, I believe they are trying to destroy the administrative state.
Well, yeah, it's just racking up into the billions when you have the government shut. How much money we're losing at this moment.
Right. I think they're trying to destroy the administrative state. And I think the Freedom Caucus that's in the Congress is complicit. And I really think that's what they want to do, because I believe that they want to destroy the state and then swoop in and do what they will. But like I say, I believe they're trying to keep build that wall so they keep people out and keep people in. In the event of a conflict, because I think the worst thing that they would want to happen is for something to happen and for all us African Americans to migrate to a continent that's even bigger than America called South America.
That's very interesting. But, you know, in order to be able to leave, because people talk about leaving the country. I mean, we've had this discussion within the black community ever since the time of American enslavement, during the colonization period, right? Should black people leave this country? There was a time, of course, during American enslavement when people were offered their freedom in exchange for leaving, right? So we had a lot of black people who went over to Liberia, for example. You had Abraham Lincoln, you know, spending $55,000 to get land down in South America, you know, to get black folks out of this country as if it's not our country too. But at this moment, for black people to leave, there are things you have to have in place though, right, Dan? You need a passport, you need money, like you need things in place now.
Right, that's true, Dr. K, but I'm just saying, if there was to be a major conflict, you know that our people will start migrating to South America.
Yep.
And that's a fear of, I believe that the white nationals have a fear that, or Donald Trump or the powers that be, the imperialist power be, have a fear of us. If it be a conflict or we get sick and tired, when we gonna migrate? You know, we're gonna start going, instead of coming from Mexico, people gonna start going to South America. We fed up. So I believe they're building a wall
to keep us in
for the sake of control, basically.
All right, thank you so much, Darren. I appreciate you. Let me move on. We have Sheila on the phone from Baltimore. Sheila, how are you?
Hello, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Yes, I was gonna answer the question.
Yes, ma'am.
That was Barbara Jordan, former Texas senator, talking during the Watergate hearings.
You're absolutely correct. So to folks who are online, I'm just going to make a note here. Sheila, people online said Shirley Chisholm. It was not her. Someone actually said Jane Elliott. When I was very clear that it was a black woman, and Jane Elliott is not. But yes, that was Barbara Jordan. And what you were hearing, folks, was her speech where she was speaking in favor of Richard Nixon being impeached. And she was arguing that for the first time that she felt like the Constitution actually applied to her, as in apply to black people. Thank you. So now I need you, Sheila, to not hang up, because we're going to get your information and we're going to get this book, Black Heroes by Jesse Carney Smith. It is an amazing encyclopedia of black women who have helped to shape this country. We will get that into your hands. Okay. Hold on one second. All right. We'll move on with our calls. We're going to continue with our discussion about the government shutdown. We have Leo Burris on the phone. Leo, how are you?
Well, I'm fine until someone stole Barbara Jordan from me. I had it down, but that's okay. I'm a good sport.
Thank you.
Let me tell you, Barbara Jordan was right about impeaching folk.
Yes.
She said impeach Richard Nixon.
Yes, she did. I think it was appropriate
we need
for
to
today.
Donald Trump. I hear so many so-called political experts saying that it won't get through the Senate. Well, I don't care where it gets through. If we can document, and I'm sure we can, the impeachable offenses committed by Donald, the actor Trump, then we should go ahead in the U.S. House of Representatives and do all that we can and hope that it will succeed in the Senate by way of trial in the Senate. I will tell you that he is intent on not just shutting the government down. This man, this madman, is intent on destroying the government.
And that's the question and concern that I have, that how do we survive this, right? So we're in day 19, and even though people think, oh, if you just open back up the government, things are fine, no, we're going down a very dangerous path here.
Well, if he stays out another month or whatever, if the government stays shut down, he will have effectively damaged the working apparatus for people in the District of Columbia and throughout this nation. And as a consequence thereof, looking at a situation in which he has said he's going to declare a state of emergency.
Right.
And who knows, out of that will come martial law. And then if we are to project in that direction, who's to say in 2020 that we're going to have an election if, in fact, we have a king?
Right, because that's really what he wants to be. Let's be clear. Donald Trump wants to be able to move without having to answer to anyone about anything.
That is exactly right. He wants to be a king.
He wants to be a king.
Which means a dictator in America should not wash. You know, on the 21st of January, where we should be this year, on Martin Luther King's birthday,
down in D.C.
4 hours in the morning, we should be at the White House.
We should be. We should be
protesting at the White House every week, calling the world into consciousness and the United Nations and other forces brought to bear on this country to focus on the institutional racism that abounds in this country and the fact that many, many people are drawn to this man by virtue of the fact that he wants to take the country back to where it was, which means he's a Confederate president.
Right.
He would overthrow this government. He is a member of the United Confederate States of America, and we cannot tolerate that.
But we know it's interesting, Leo, before I let you go, that even with everything you said, and I think people are aware of this, he still has a base. He still has a group of people, a large group of people, many of them are part of that last Jim Crow generation over the age of 70, who are not moving in terms of their support to him.
History can repeat itself, even though those of us say it cannot. I don't know what will happen, but I know we have to protect and defend ourselves by any means necessary.
I'm absolutely agreeing with you. Thank you so much, Leo. I'm agreeing with you, folks, by any means necessary. And I played that Barbara Jordan clip because I thought it was just so appropriate for today. When I was in graduate school, Barbara Jordan was one of my mentors when I was a Woodrow Wilson Fellow. There were a few of us that she worked with, and she was down at UT Austin, and I went and spent the summer with her. And the idea of being in her presence and having her talk about challenging us to think deeply about what are the issues that we're willing to stand up for. I've often asked you about your line in the sand. Do you have a line in the sand, or are there some issues that you're not going to give on? Here we are in Donald Trump's America at this point. At what point do you decide that you're ready to protest, that you're ready to push in, that you're ready to demand a change? We're in day 19 of a federal government shutdown, and he's talking about the possibility of declaring a state of emergency, which he actually can do. We have Gladys on the phone from Baltimore. Gladys, how are you?
Hey.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
All right. Just fine.
So what do you think about the government shutdown?
Well, I do not agree with it. And as far as the shutdown is concerned, the government needs to continue to work. And for those especially that have to work, they should be paid. And I think the president should not be the one who makes a decision to shut down the government. That should be a decision coming from those that we have elected to send to Washington.
Right. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, with that, and we can, of course, go back and forth that, you know, we didn't actually elect Donald Trump. I'm just talking about the popular vote in support of Hillary Clinton, and he was put in place by the Electoral College. But Donald Trump believes that he's acting at the behest of the American public. He's like, I'm sitting here in office, therefore, I am doing what I think is best for this country.
Well, even though, and yes, he was elected, but I understand what you're saying. No, he's not elected by those who have some disagreements with him.
Right.
But whether it is one that is elected or not elected holding that position, they should not be the only one to make a decision to close the government.
I completely agree with you. Thank you so much, Gladys. I'm going to go to a quick clip of Donald Trump, folks, before we go to break. Let's take a listen to what 45 was saying last night.
My fellow Americans, tonight I am speaking to you because there is a growing humanitarian and security crisis at our southern border. Every day, Customs and Border Patrol agents encounter thousands of illegal immigrants trying to enter our country. We are out of space to hold them, and we have no way to promptly return them back home to their country. America proudly welcomes millions of lawful immigrants who enrich our society and contribute to our nation. But all Americans are hurt by uncontrolled illegal migration sources and drives down jobs and wages. Among those hardest hit are African Americans and Hispanic Americans. Our southern border is a pipeline for vast quantities of illegal drugs, including meth, heroin, cocaine.
From the break, I'm going to play a clip of workers responding to that. But going in the break, here's just a little quote I want you to rest with for a second. America should build a wall of steel, a wall as high as heaven against the flow of immigrants. That could have been Donald Trump yesterday. No, folks, that was Governor George Clifford Walker at a 1924 convention of the KKK. That was a powerful force of time working on behalf of the white working class, calling for building a wall of steel as high as heaven against the flow of immigrants. That's the KKK in 1924. Sound like yesterday when he was talking. We're going to talk about it more when we come back. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Join the conversation.
Don't you know we're talking about a revolution that sounds
like
a whisper? Don't you know we're talking about a revolution that sounds
like a whisper?
While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation. Wasting time.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead, folks. I feel like today we could use a little bit of Tracy Chapman, right? We can use a little bit of folks talking about a revolution. Maybe it is time for us to seriously consider overthrowing this government. We are moving in the wrong direction. For some federal workers, shutdown means weighing which bills to pay. Here's a little excerpt of a story that we looked at. Tyra McClendon has applied for free or reduced price lunch for her child and contemplated whether to purchase allergy medicine or food. Johnny knows he needs to sit his 6 and 8 year old sons down for the talk. But so far, he's avoided explaining to them why daddy isn't going to work in the morning. And Trishonda Morton, who's supposed to close on the purchase of a new home at the end of the month, is unsure of how she will deal with the bank's request for 2 recent pay stubs because she does not have it. Folks, right now, while our millionaire president and a bunch of those millionaire politicians down in D.C. debate back and forth about a wall and refuse to hold the line, refuse to make a compromise, refuse to stop what the president is actually doing to people, folks, real people are making decisions about buying allergy medicine or food. 410-319-8888. We're talking about the government shutdown. It's day 19 at this point, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. Let's talk about it. We have Nigel on the phone from West Baltimore. Nigel, how are you?
I am great. How are you, Dr. K?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely.
One thing I want to talk there, in my observation of the speech between the two groups, I was disappointed a little bit with the Democratic side. They sound, like you said, they sound like parents.
Yes.
And at the same time, their attitude was typical of the age group, where they were playing it safe, real conservative with their speech, rather than really clearly identifying Donald Trump for what he is.
Right.
A dictator wannabe, someone that is holding hostage. I mean, these would be strong words. Holding hostage federal workers that got nothing to do with what he says is a problem. You're supposed to be protecting the American people, but yet you are willing to put at risk the people's lives that works for you.
Right.
Okay? And I hold the Democrat leadership responsible for not making that clear. They had an opportunity. Okay? Now, they, of course, they want to be sensitive and show the workers that they care about them, but you also have to let people know that this type of leadership is the worst kind. And so if you use words that clearly establishes how you see him, then there's no doubt in the progressive following group minds that you know how they really feel. I don't think they represented the progressives who actually put them in. I think they're still playing it safe for all the years that they've been there.
Right.
And that's why there was a near coup on getting them not go back in, especially Nancy Pelosi, because they felt that that was the game that she played all the time. You know, real, playing it close, really conservative, when in this day and age, you can't afford to be. Because people get the wrong messages, like, you don't understand what the problem is. And the problem is, there's a leadership in there that wants to be like the dictators that he so admires. And so
yes.
The wall to me, the wall I'm thinking, is really Donald Trump doesn't care about the problem.
No, he doesn't.
He sees the wall as a trophy.
Yes.
Okay, it's a trophy.
It's what he's been campaigning and talking about from the beginning. He campaigned on, yes. I'm going to get this wall built.
Because it's a trophy.
Yes,
it's
a monument.
Mount Rushmore. Okay,
yes.
It's bigger than Mount Rushmore for Donald Trump. So he should be denied the wall on just the very principle that it's a trophy. If you make a mistake and cave to him and give him that trophy, that's the end of that.
I agree. Thank you so much. It's very interesting, folks. When we start talking about this, it's interesting because people are now getting into the weeds with the language. Not necessarily my last call. I'm looking here on Facebook Live. Yambu Tutu wants to know, why is it being called a government shutdown when most of the government is still functioning? Actually, Yambu, they are calling it a partial government shutdown. And let me tell you why. Because there are more than 420,000 federal employees are now working without pay. These are agents from the FBI, the ATF, the DEA, the Customs and Border Protection agents, staff from the State Department, Coast Guard, IRS, and Department of Homeland Security. Did you hear me when I said IRS people? These are parts of the government that are working without pay. And that includes two other groups, TSA workers, who are now saying and that they have refused to continue to work without pay. Many of them are quitting. And the second, it includes people who work at prisons. Think about that. You are going to work every day without pay. There are another 380,000 workers who've actually been furloughed, including NASA, the State Department, the National Park Service, the Forest Service, the Transportation Department, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and then folks in the IRS. So don't start talking about getting your refund checks, folks. Ain't nobody there to send it to you. There's nobody there. This is why it's called a government shutdown. Even though it's partial, Yambu, people are either A, working without pay, or B, they're home, waking from something that happened. We have Brian on the phone from East Baltimore. Bryant, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, first I just want to shout out organizations that are already putting together solutions for one option that we can go about while using unity and in numbers, you know, using our power, which one is Blackfrica. It's BLACFRICA.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is dealing with Marcus Garvey's birthday, August 17th. We are assembling and we're joining together with the Marcus Garvey Parade in Harlem Park.
Okay.
August 17th. That's the universal symbol for the United States of Africa.
Okay.
They're all on Facebook.
Now, I get that. Now, when you brought up particularly Marcus Garvey, which I'm familiar with, how are these two groups offering solutions with this partial government shutdown?
The reason I'm saying that is because I heard people, you know, someone calling saying to protest the shutdown itself.
Okay.
Which, for me, when we're talking about protesting, we're talking about money, people losing money, and all of these things, and what Trump is doing to affect the money, and he wants billions of dollars, is like everything is surrounded by money.
Right.
So we're going to, how can we protest against something if we, for one, don't have money, or if we, for two, as black people, don't use the power in our money?
Mm-hmm.
When he, you know, he set the tariffs and the taxes against China and them, they came back with taxes and tariffs against the, with for their own, for the farmers and things like that.
Right.
You know, everything boils back down to that. So for
okay.
me, to protest and bring more attention to what is going on, the United Nations already know. All these other countries, they already know what's going on. Malcolm X been back there in them days and already brought this to it. I feel as though it is the country's waiting right now to see what are we truly going to do. I feel like he used one of his most powerful options, which is to shut the government down. As the president of this country, he used one of his most powerful weapons. So why don't we as people use one of our most powerful weapons in assembling together, as
okay.
well as boycott, a successful boycott. We didn't stand up for Colin Kaepernick when it came to the NFL.
Some people
did.
Said
what he wanted.
Some people boycotted, yes.
But those efforts, I'll say, are still in motion then.
Oh, yes.
I'll say that. Because
okay.
some people definitely still boycott the NFL. So it's going to come down to the dollars. It's going
okay.
to come down to us truly assembling and using our greatest power as well.
All right. Thank you so much. I would agree in some ways with what Brian is saying. Let's not forget, folks, that black folks do spend $1.4 trillion a year. We are the largest spending base in this country. I have that. But when we start talking about assembling together, I think we need to stay focused on what's happening here. We are in the midst of a partial government shutdown, and there are a number of people who are affected. You might be one of them. Give me a call, 410-319-8888. I want to take another call, and then I definitely want to play this clip listening to the federal workers talking about what their life has been like over the last 19 days. Now, maybe 19 days doesn't seem like a lot to you, but I ask you, how many paychecks can you go without before you really start to feel the strain? How many paychecks? Can you go without one paycheck? All right, so you're supposed to get paid tomorrow and you don't get paid. You'll be okay. What if in 2 weeks that paycheck doesn't come? How many paychecks can you go without and still be comfortable? Because let's not forget that every paycheck you don't get, you're going a little bit more in the hole. And by the time you get money, you got to dig yourself out. And that's what some of the federal workers are talking about. Got to dig themselves out of a hole at this point. We have Fred on the phone from Baltimore. Fred, how are you?
Dr. K, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir.
You know, anybody that missed their paycheck twice and they're in the hole, they was already in the hole before they shut down the government.
Mm-hmm.
I tell that to my kids. You work on a job, you got certain responsibilities, certain bills. Your objective should be to save at least 4 or 5 months worth of payments.
Yeah.
So that if something happens, you can lose your job, you just get fired. And you can't let survive for 1 week. That's why these people that's on TV talking about, oh, I ain't got my first paycheck and I'm already in the hole. I don't believe all that. If you're in that kind of condition,
right.
If you're in that kind of condition, what Trump is doing has nothing to do with it. So, I mean, you know, we go round and round and round about shouldn't have a wall, shouldn't we have a wall? Dr. K, let me tell you something. In East Baltimore, they had a project called EBDI, John Hopkins. We did 80 acres over in East Baltimore. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
They spent $1.8 billion. 42% of that pie went to the Hispanic community. 29% of that pie went to the white community. 19% of that pie went to the black community. Now think about that. Here's a project right in the middle of a black community,
mm-hmm.
right in the middle. You have all these Democrats, you know, when they wanted to put the horseshoe in there, they were arguing about trying to get black people 35%, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. Hispanics, probably the smallest population of people in the city is the Hispanic population. I think it was about 29,000 of them. They got rid of that pie. See, I think we focus on the wrong thing.
Okay.
Trump doing this, Trump doing that. Hey. In 2016, 54 Democratic representatives voted to put $23 billion on that border. You know that, right?
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now here this man said, give me $5 billion.
Right.
so I can spike this thing up. So it needs to be stopped, whether we think so or not. And whether black people say, you know, he said it's affecting blacks and Hispanics the most, it really is. That's, I just gave you a prime example.
You did.
You got 11 million undocumented workers in America. Where do you think they're working?
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, well, let me ask you this, Fred, I mean, because I definitely appreciate you. So with this government shutdown, just to be, go back to what you just said, one, you don't believe that people, when they talk about their one paycheck away, you're saying if you are suffering like that, it's your own fault. You did say that, correct?
Don't you think so?
Well, no, there are people. No, I don't. I cannot say that because there are some people, this might be the first time they've been at work in a long time. There may be someone who's struggling with trying to pay off student loans and trying to keep the basic bills paid. They may be in a relationship. Maybe their husband or their wife is someone who does not have a job or who has been laid off. They may have children who have medical conditions. They may be dealing with the fact that they're buying their expensive allergy medicine and EpiPens. And I know about buying these expensive EpiPens. It could be a number of reasons. So yes, you should have 5 months saved up. Yes, you should. But some people don't. And I am definitely not going to say because you don't have 5 months paid off, you know, whatever you get, you get. You should be at work getting paid. That's why you have a job. These are not unemployed people we're talking about.
Hey, can I say one more thing?
Sure.
If these people are the ones that have been furloughed off their job or laid off, aren't they eligible for unemployment? Yes, they are. See, this is why I don't understand.
Yeah, well, so, well, you know, actually, the unemployment office said a number of people have applied. They did say that. The people are definitely applying for unemployment. And there's some questions about that. Thank you so much, Fred. I appreciate you. We have William on the phone from North Baltimore. William, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well.
This quick segment is going to be in your wheelhouse, Doc.
Okay.
Because I know you value research and facts.
Yes, I do.
So everybody's still on this Trump stuff. I thought that stuff would have blew over. Like, we're on the new stuff this year. So everybody's screaming Trump, and they don't like Trump and all of this other Trump stuff. We got to understand American history. We got to understand the history of the country before 1913. Got to understand the history so that you can understand what Trump is doing. Dr. K., people don't understand, the American citizen doesn't understand how and what America is. So today or any part of the X-axis, they're going to look at American history and not understand it. Let me give you an example. The IRS is not a part of the United States government. That's an absolute matter of fact. Trump isn't holding citizens hostage. The corporation of America is taxing is illegal. Okay, that's also a fact.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to understand what Trump is doing, people listen, look at things, research some things, I should say, because I'm going from what Dr. K would tell y'all. Research the Treaty of Tripoli and see if you still feel strong when you go out to the voting booth as an American citizen. If somebody was in Colin Kaepernick's corner, I'm just touching on the things I heard.
Yeah.
I want to see what he should have done, what the most powerful strike Colin could have done, as opposed to losing support by kneeling with the flag, whether he likes the veterans or not or whatever, you don't suit up for the game. You don't even drive to the stadium. You don't play. You tell everybody that's on your team, San Francisco at the time or whatever the team he was on, yo, we're going to come over to the crib and watch the game from my house. We ain't playing today. That way, you garner the support of the vets, the blue-collar worker, the plumber, the electrician, the person at Walmart. You see, it's got to be a strategic and calculated plan based off of your opponent's previous. Put the reference to, because, what is it? When do we pay taxes? April, May?
April 15th. And all the time? All our taxes are April 15th. I'm paying taxes all the time on everything, yes.
Right, but when we file, right?
Right.
Not one of your listeners, you or me, have ever written a check to the Treasury.
Yep, I signed it to the federal government. But I want to thank you so much. I appreciate you. Folks, the Treaty of Tripoli, if you're interested in that, just take a quick look. It was signed in 1796 between the United States of America and Tripoli, which is now Libya, which is what he was referencing. But take a look at that and see if you can figure out the connections to the government shutdown at this moment, because we're talking about that. There are people that are being affected. Why don't we, Dre, take a moment, because maybe we're losing sight of what's going on here. Why don't we take a listen to this clip from federal workers giving a look into their life under a government shutdown? Because I think we're making this intellectual and people are not able to pay their bills. They're choosing between medicine and food, and you're telling me it's their fault? They're going to work. They want to go to work. Let's take a listen to this clip.
This is not my first shutdown.
I think the uncertainty is really hard.
We're almost the pawns in a political chess game.
Well, we're here because I'm not allowed to work due to the government shutdown. As a contractor, I'm in an interesting position that, unlike a employee of the federal government, I'm not allowed to work and I will not get back pay. I'm forced to use all my vacation time and then I'm put on leave without pay, where I just have to wait till things open back up and use up our savings or whatever else we have to do to keep things moving along.
It's like I'm sitting in my home with a hoodie on because I know I could turn the thermostat down and kind of cut back on what my electric bill would have been. You know, it's like everybody don't think of that. Like, okay, when you go to sleep at night, or what is that thermostat on? Like, oh, wait a minute, that heater came on too many times. I have to worry about wintertime and your heat bill. You never know what it is anyway. So the things I can do to make myself comfortable, I'm not going to be miserable, but this particular room is cooler than the rest of the house. So I put the heater on so I could just worry about warming up this room and not try to heat up the whole house so I could be warm, because I had to be concerned about how big that bill is going to be later.
You just have no idea whether I'm going to lose a week of income or a month of income. And at what point do I decide to go find a different job and, sort of leave the project I'm working on high and dry, in a sense.
We're almost the pawns in a political chess game, and it has nothing to do with us. We're federal employees. We're apolitical. We're not supposed to have opinions on these things. And, you know, to involve us in this at such a personal level, you know, by essentially holding hostage our paychecks while, you know, they fight amongst themselves over political issues, is unfair. It's unfair to everybody.
They give you this mass letter that, okay, you can present this to your creditor and let them know that, you know, you shut down, but you will get paid. That creditor can care less about that letter. This is not my first shutdown. I've been with the Internal Revenue
Service. So what the government did, and this is how they responded, and we talked about on the show, they tweeted out a letter and they said, take this letter and give it to the folks who are expecting you to pay mortgage. Send it to your gas and electric people. Send it to the folks who expect you to pay your car payment. Send them this letter telling them that you're furloughed, and help them to understand what's going on. They also said, if you are renting an apartment, why don't you try to find ways to trade off your services to pay your rent? So why don't you help the owner of your building, you know, in painting, in doing landscaping, in helping to clean up the apartment. Folks, this is ridiculous. And as for unemployment, Fred said that, well, why can't you just apply for unemployment? Folks, you don't just go in and get your full check. The max is $450 a week. So if you're someone who's making $1,600 a week, they start doing the calculations and you end up with $246 a week. It is not exactly what you typically have coming in with your job. Yes, you should apply for it, but that's not the answer. The answer is getting the government back up and running. Let's keep talking. We have the Real Thomas on the phone, and we'll follow that with Punch. How you doing, Real Thomas?
Dr. K, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir.
Well, let me say this. I don't mean to be mean when I say this.
Okay.
But I got to say it. 53% of them white women that voted for Donald Trump.
Come on.
How's it working out for them now?
Come on.
Huh?
I said, all I said was come on. I mean, because I'll be honest with you, Real Thomas. Sometimes I feel like screaming and saying, whoever you are that voted for this man, what we have right now is what you're getting. I do want to make a note very quickly. Quick note of breaking news just came across New York Times. Donald Trump just got up and stormed out of the meeting he was having with the Democrats in terms of trying to get the government back up and working. So we'll get some news on exactly what happened, but he did walk out of the meeting.
Listen, Donald Trump is a man, baby, okay?
Yeah.
Donald Trump should not be allowed to run nobody's country nowhere. Because I'm going to tell you something, all the businesses he's ever had, he's done nothing but run them in the ground.
Yep.
All his foundations.
Every single time.
Them in the ground. Now what he's about to do now is bankrupt America. And I guess America's getting ready to go and file for bankruptcy too.
And what's interesting, I want to throw this out real, Thomas, that all the research that's been done about these government shutdowns, it actually costs our government more money when it shuts down than when it's open.
Yeah, because then they're going to turn around and have to find the money from somewhere to pay back pay to these government.
Oh, yes. They are. And sometimes, the last time they had one, it was upwards of $2 billion of just trying to deal with back pay.
That's exactly right. But I'll say this. I think we should take everything that he has in his private business and put toward the government shutdown.
I think so.
Since his private business is still making money off the United States government.
I don't think anyone should be getting paid. Thank you so much, Real Thomas. I'm thinking if there is a partial government shutdown, that I don't think any of the Congress folks should get paid. Nobody should be getting paid right now who's involved with what's going on. How about some of the fact-checking? He said last night, and I'm quoting Donald Trump, the federal government remains shut down for one reason and one reason only, because Democrats will not fund border security. False. Why do we know it's false? Because President Trump said himself, and I'm quoting, I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it. He said that. So, folks, when you start talking about Donald Trump, the man that some people voted to put into office, lied his way through this while people are out of work. We have Punch on the phone. He's truck driving on the Beltway. Punch, how are you?
How are you doing, Ms. Jackson? Look, I have one question about that. Now,
yes.
Everybody keeps saying that you just said he just stormed out because he wants $5 billion and some change.
Yep.
That is there any way that he can get his hands on some of that money? Because I think the bastard about bankrupt. And he tries, why not just take the ball and a half or whatever they offer him and start with that and then worry about it, next year.
I just want to say, and I'm laughing, Punch, because I love the way you put this. Five and some change, take a ball and a half. I love that. Because they did offer him $1.3 billion. They offered this man money. Go ahead and shore up what we already have. We're just not trying to start digging into a hole to build, whether it's a wall or it's a steel border, whatever it is that you're calling it. We're not trying to put up $5 billion towards something that might potentially cost $60 billion to finish.
Right, but the thing is, He's stuck on this one number. So what are he trying to do? Pocket half of the money?
That's what I think. I think so.
I mean, and I don't know why they won't throw it in his face. They offer him something, even he take it, because if they give him what he wants, he's going to pop and do everything he can again to have it his way.
Oh, yeah, because it's not going
to
stop here.
Right.
I think you and I can agree, Punch. If he wins this, just say he does, I think we, as the American public, will lose, because every time he wants something, he'll do the same thing. That's what you do with children. You give them what you want, and you never stop.
Right, and he's not going to stop. And I don't know why a lot of our people, our brothers and sisters out here, he's taking up on the way he's treating everybody like crap.
Come on.
I mean, I'm 58 years old. I ain't never seen the world this worse than all this racism and prejudice. And all. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And everybody keeps taking up on I mean, they got to look at the real picture of it.
Now, I have to stop you there, Punch. I appreciate you. They got the music playing. It's time for a quick break. Jeff and Valerie, don't hang up. I'll come to you right after the break. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. When we come back, let's listen to some of the responses from the Democrats. I have this wonderful clip from Representative Ayanna Pressley. The sister went strong last night and today. So why don't we play that clip when we come back? Quick update from MTA, and we'll talk on the other side.
And a good afternoon. On the Metro Subway link, we have a disruption in service. This affects both sides of the trains between Penn North and State Center because of police activity from earlier in the day. A bus bridge has been established between those two stations, and there is a 20-minute delay at least on the Metro Subway link that is running. Light Rail Link, however, is on schedule. On the Penn lines, we have train 537 running about 5 to 10 minutes late. Train 439 is also 5 to 10 minutes late. For the MTA Transit Team, I'm Ken Berger on 88.9 FM WEAA, the voice of the community.